Brian, how was your week, man?
You know what? My week was pretty gosh darn awesome, but it's time for the most awesome part of my week.
What would that be? Would that be the Revenge of the Nerds?
It is the relaunch, the revamped, the, dare I say, the new Coke of your podcast favorites, the brand new Revenge of the Nerds.
Yes, this is Prevenge 51, and I'm calling this Spaceballs the Pod.
Instead of 52, we're going to go 51. Yes.
Yes, exactly. All right. So, hey, Brian, what was your movie or TV show for the week, man?
All right. So, my movie of the week, and I got a movie of the week and a TV show of the week. So, my movie of the week, again, I will give Amazon credit for sending this one to me. This was the movie Unhuman on Prime. On Prime. It is really an interesting movie. It is Unhuman, and it is a kind of a teen zombie movie with a really good twist at the end. So that's all I get into that. It basically combines Jeepers Creepers and Dawn of the Dead with a nice little twist. So it was my movie of the week. This week was far more shows than movies, but of the movies that I watched, it definitely won movie of the week.
Oh, and I lost my pen.
Well, you know what, sir? In the many ways we have of writing things down with communication, I will remind, it is the show. It is a movie. Unhuman.
Awesome.
And then as far as my show of the week, well, first off, again, for our previous one, we did a podcast quickie last week. And during that quickie, you mentioned, had I caught up on 1923, which I had not. But I did catch up on 1923, as you know, in the middle of the night, because you asked me, and I'm a man of my word. And when your podcast tag team partner says, when you get to the jaw drop moment, text me. So I texted you at around 3 o'clock in the morning because my jaw dropped, because they didn't have a red wedding, but they darn sure had a red wagon ride. And that was incredible.
Yeah, man. Dude, I was awake. I just woke up like 5 minutes before that. And I was like, oh, he watched it. It was awesome.
I was so flabbergasted. I called the show Yellowstone. No, 1923. I was still processing it. And this week's episode, have you caught this week's yet?
No, I haven't. I usually watch them on Monday.
This week's 1923 kept the momentum going and gives you, again, without giving away spoilers, it gives you the origin of something that is very significant to the Yellowstone series. So you get a really cool origin story of a facet of Yellowstone. Tulsa King was right there. Mm-hmm. We had the season finale of Tulsa King. It was right there, mm-hmm. but 1923 edged it out.
Nice. I think my show will be Bad Batch Season 2.
Okay.
It premiered 2 episodes. Animation's amazing. Bad Batch should not be good. It should not be a good show, but it's fantastic. And then my movie, we went and saw Megan today. We were talking a little bit about it, but so sure. Just definitely go check it out when you get a chance. You know, this one's going to be hitting streaming. I don't think it's going to take too long to hit streaming.
Sure.
So, but definitely a good starter horror movie. So
Bradley, but first I now have a question.
Yeah.
Since you did check out Megan, of a triple threat match, who are you picking? Are you picking Megan? Are you picking Annabelle, or are you going with the old school Sir Chucky? Who is winning the strange doll person little thing battle royal from the horror movies?
You know what? It's got to be Chucky. Got to be Chucky, just because he's got the longevity. He's been I guess Annabelle's been around since the 70s.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I'm still going to go Chucky, just because you punt him.
He's a grizzled veteran.
Right. You punt him. He comes back.
Yep. Yeah.
He comes back better than ever, you know? So,
and like every great professional wrestler, from Hulk Hogan to Ric Flair to your boy Shawn Michaels, like any great pro wrestler, he also has a receding hairline.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And he was in them, and he had a movie where he was a kid called Problem Child.
What happened to Problem Child? What happened to. I honestly think that movie shortened John Ritter, RIP, John Ritter's life, you know.
I think it did. All right. So are you ready to get on with the show?
Let's do it, sir.
Oh, I gotta hit the right music.
Get your earphones in, everybody, and everybody hear us out. We are Rob Uten and Brian Dennis, and this is PVOTN. We've got my dad leveling up your awesomeness, dropping knowledge of TV, movies, and comics. We've got Brian Dennis flexing his nerd muscles. How you level up your awesomeness? He will solve the puzzle. Just when you thought you've heard it all, a new episode will come along. Won't you like, subscribe, and rate our show? One last thing. Leave a 5-star review before you go. Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you, Leia, and welcome to The Fandemic Presents Prevenge of the Nerds. We are your one-stop podcast. Every week, we are going to give you all the things to level up your awesome. You can also order my kids' book, Leveling Up My Awesome, and Stuffed Animal Night Force versus the Dream Invaders on Amazon for $7.99 or $9.99. Contact me for autographed copies for just a little bit more.
I feel like you need Bruce Campbell, that if you ever make a movie of your kids' book, somehow you got to get Bruce Campbell in it. Like he should be the narrator, similar to Peter Falk in the original Princess Bride, just reading the stories to the grandfather, to the grandson.
That'd be amazing. I'm all for that.
Maybe we can get the kid from Problem Child to play the grandson. I don't think he's doing much now. Right. Hey, dude.
You need a little help, buddy?
Here, I give you a quarter. We can have you in this movie. How about that? Yeah.
I love it. All right. So this is how the show is going to go. We are going to tell you the stories that could have led to your favorite movies, TV shows, and so much more. That will be part one. Then the following week, we're going to tell you the after credit scene. That will be the stories that could have happened after the story was told. That will be part two. We're switching some things up a little bit. We like to do that every now and then. So I hope everybody likes it. And if they don't, let us know and we'll just go back to what we were doing. But first,
sir,
Brian, I have. Yes, sir. Some Lone Star reviews. Now, what movie are we talking about today?
So today we are doing part one of our review of Spaceballs, also known as Better Than Star Wars Episode One.
Yes. And are you ready for the first one-star review that I found on Spaceballs?
I want to see how anyone can give Spaceballs one star. Let's see what we got here.
Well, I found two of them. So
you found two. Yep, so these two people, whoever you are, wherever you're at, you're about to catch these hands. Let's do it.
Right. So we're going to check out these reviews. We're going to see if there's any validity to them at all. And we'll probably make fun of them because Spaceballs is about near perfect as possible.
It's a great movie. It's a great movie.
All right. So I'm not going to say any names. I'll just say that I did find this on IMDb. I watched Spaceballs a second time yesterday because I thought there must be something to it. I didn't like it the first time, and I hate it even more the second time I watched it. Maybe I just don't understand the movie. Is it too smart, too deep, too complicated? Is it funny because it is supposed to be bad? It was just plain awful. I couldn't stand keeping my eyes open, kept thinking, please, just press the stupid self-destruct button already and be done with it. If I didn't watch it in the cinema 80s special with my friends, I would have stopped watching after half an hour. I was trying very hard to laugh at all the jokes, just couldn't do it. Instead of Jabba the Hutt, his name was Pizza the Hutt. Oh my God, Yoda is yogurt. Jesus, comb the desert. They are literally combing the desert. Ha 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 ha. May the Schwartz be with you. Is Schwartz supposed to mean something I don't get? Is it funny because it doesn't mean something? Is it funny because it sounds like Schwanz? For me, it is really important in a movie to have likable characters. In this movie, I didn't care for any of them. Rick Moranis' Dark Helmet was a good choice for this role, though. But all the other characters should have a self-destruct button to press. All right, Brian. What do you think of that?
Well, first off, the reviewer, whoever you are, you were drinking some serious Haterade right there. So that's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, the breakdown of the humor is basically this. All the things that they said, is it supposed to be funny? Absolutely. And was it just too smart for you? I don't want to say that, but I definitely think you didn't get the joke. So let's break down a couple of those things. So first off, if you are aware, the movie is written by Mel Brooks, and so much of Mel Brooks is campy parody stuff, especially bringing in a lot of times making fun of people that have some anti-Semitic viewpoints. So that's why we have things such as things like the Schwartz will be with you, which again, and by the way, it wasn't fun because of it sounded like shawarma or whatever the reviewer said. It was funny because it sounds like the
Force
will be made the Force be with you. Of course, combing the desk with a literal ridiculously huge comb and all the other things, because again, yoga and yogurt, all those things make it funny. It isn't meant to make you think, it's meant to make you laugh. And I, for one, Bradley, from watching as a little kid to watching very recently, it made me laugh.
Yes, it makes me laugh every time. All the blips, all the bloops, and the, you know, I can't do Michael Winslow. I mean, you got Michael freaking Winslow doing this stuff. I mean, come on.
Did you know that Mel Brooks put a price on Michael Winslow's how much money he saved, because the movie was made on a fairly shoestring budget? He goes, Michael Winslow saved him at least $1,000 in sound engineering by the fact that he can make those special effects, and he had to pay for them. So Michael Winslow saved them about $1,000, which in 80s money is pretty significant when making a movie.
All right. So, Brian, I'm with you, man. I don't think I think this guy was missing the point. This guy whoever it was that wrote this review was definitely doesn't have a funny bone in his body.
I would love to hear who they think is funny. Benny Hill. I think this was just an extremely funny movie. Again, the other thing, that it's a parody. Yeah. So most parodies take a silly slant on anything that you have, especially when it's more serious material. And possibly that is the issue, that a person understand that this is meant to be a parody, even though some of their review points made it sound like that maybe they understood it was a parody. But if you're not familiar with, especially the Star Wars, which is the most direct parody that it does, if you're not familiar with the Star Wars movie and many things, again, like May the Force Be With You, Combing the Desert, all those things, Yoda and Yogurt. Again, they cited that they knew the person, Yoga, was a play on Yoda. So this is meant to parody Star Wars. And because of that, of course, it takes it silly, but it points out all the silly things that we do. So you take a little green guy, and instead of calling him Yoda, you call him Yogurt, and you have him trying to peddle all the material, all the merch from the movie, as we all know, which has probably made George Lucas just as much money as any of the actual Star Wars movies, has been the merchandise for Star Wars. Because I know about you, Brad, but when I was a kid, pretty much all my parents' money went to Hasbro so I could have Star Wars toys every Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, merchandising.
Merchandising. There it is. Right. There it is, sir.
Well, you know, and you got the Schwartz, you have a Druidish princess. I mean, you know, obviously, Brian, is there any validity to his review?
The only thing that I can find with it being valid is when he says maybe he, you know, took the movie too seriously, or they took the movie too seriously. And I think that's what it is. Spaceballs, again, like any comedy, is meant to be cerebral for the most part. You're supposed to think about it. And this is a movie that it makes you just relax. You just enjoy it. Again, it's not Citizen Kane. It is just a movie that brought a lot of joy to a lot of people. And we talk about this before, one of the movies that we agree from a podcast standpoint, our favorite movie is The Princess Bride. Well, what's the humor in hearing a person with a speech impediment going, "Wuv, true, wuv," because it's funny.
Yeah.
because we all, at somewhere in ourselves, are still the 8-year-old that likes things that sound funny. So yeah, there you go. So again, we got to give them, I think, 3 shots of Haterade for their review.
Ooh, I like that. The Haterade's definitely going to be a thing. All right, for this. All right, you ready for the second review?
Let me hear, sir.
I did not find this movie was great. Let me start that one over. I did not like this movie was great movie, like real Star Wars movie. Jedi, say may the force with you. In real, the Star Wars movie, those movie, cool and amazing. Remember, watch Star Wars Episode 1. That was so cool. If you watch the real Star Wars move, then Spaceballs was not good movie.
All right. So, first off, the person writing this is not the most well-written review. There may be some English as a second language. And again, I'll say anyone's anyone's second language being English is better than my second language being anything else. Mm-hmm. But with that being said, the person review speaks to exactly why what we like about it. The person who wrote this said mostly the real Star Wars, the real Star Wars, the real Star Wars. This is not the real Star Wars.
Yeah.
This is Spaceballs, okay? And all the things that the person with both reviews that they didn't like, I think for the most of us, is what we do like. Because you have to be a fan of the movies to like the joke. And that may be it. Maybe this person, and by the way, this person thought how cool Phantom Menace Episode 1 was. I'll go back to my initial thoughts on Spaceballs. Better than Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. With that being said, if you like Star Wars, if you're a true fan of Star Wars, you should be a true fan of Spaceballs, because really, all great parodies, well, now Yankovic's music is a great example of this, all great parodies are really love notes to whatever the original source material is, okay? I am such a fan, I'm going to try and make fun of it, just because you have to know it to actually make fun of it. And these are the things that we all love.
100%, man. Couldn't say it better. Again, I don't feel there's any validity to this one as well. So, you know what? By the way, that one was from 2022.
22?
Yep.
Okay. 4th, so, you just not. So, first off, what year was the first one that you read? What year was that?
2015.
Okay, so if you're just discovering Spaceballs in 2015 and 2022, respectively, unless you are, like, in elementary school, mm-hmm. then I'm sorry for you. Okay, you've come to the table a little too late. We're going to put Spaceballs forever at the Coolest Kids table. And for the second reviewer, we're also going to give you 3 shots of the Haterade.
I agree. Are we doing a Haterade on a 5-shot thing? Or are we doing...
I don't know if there's ever enough shots of Haterade, but we'll usually go at 5. We'll go at 5. They didn't say the thing mean. They just didn't like the movie, so we'll keep it at 3 shots of the Haterade.
Okay, cool. All right, so we'll call it. I'll agree. The 3 shots of Haterade. Now, before we get too far, we do got to talk a little bit about our names, because we didn't do that part.
Sir,
I'm the self-proclaimed Emperor of Awesome, Bradley Butin, and who are you, sir?
I'm your co-host, your tag team partner, Brian S. Dennis with S. Stands for Ludicrous Speed.
Also, the unverified twin of Shamar Moore, at least in the nipples.
In the nipples. In the nipples. And I've been told the back of my back of my neck is a dead ringer for Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Dude, yes. That's awesome.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So now, before we get into the prevenge, we definitely go and talk a little bit about those dirty deeds.
We're gonna have those dirty deeds, sir.
Dirty deeds done dirt cheap. Yes. All right. So here is gonna be the Did You Knows. This is where we're gonna talk a little bit about the movie that we're gonna kind of pitch our own type of thing. So Brian, what do you got? Give us the dirty deeds on Spaceballs.
And if anyone knows me, all the deeds will always be dirty. All right.
Especially here we go.
So those two reviewers should really check this out. So here's a couple things with, again, Spaceballs. If you didn't know, first off, the movie came out in 1987, a time near and dear to both Bradley and my hearts. We were young, impressionable youth just running around with stars in our eyes and hope for tomorrow and thinking about maybe one day I can do a podcast with my bestie, my dude, my guy friend, my bromance, my brother from another mother, and we will prevent all the fun things we were enjoying in the 80s and 90s with that. So the release date came out in 1987. And one of the great things about Spaceballs is that it really captured a really good cast that played off a lot of the tropes that we see in the Star Wars movie. So when you look at Spaceballs, it is number one, as you heard in one of the reviewers, you have Darth Helmet, played by Rick Moranis. Again, give us our bad guy, play on Darth Vader. Instead of Luke Skywalker, we've got Lone Star with two R's, played by Bill Pullman, who again reminds us that we will not go gently into that good night. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. And if this was the beginning of July, we would be celebrating our Independence Day. Daphne Zuniga, our Druish princess, played by Princess Vespa. And again, you got to give RIP to a couple great cast members. John Candy, whose name was Barf. And Bradley, John Candy played a Mog. And what is a Mog, Brad?
Half man, half dog.
There
He's
you
his
go.
His own best friend.
He's his own best friend. With yeah, the tail wagging and everything. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. RIP.
RIP. And the other RIP we got to give is to Dot Matrix. Now, this one, for all you young kids out there who don't know what a Dot Matrix is, imagine the world's slowest printer. Okay, imagine. I mean, most of us could probably type as fast, we probably write as fast as old school printers. So, you play Dot Matrix, who was again a parody of C-3PO, and you heard it already before. But then, primarily, the other big cast member that again was a parody was actually played by Mel Brooks on two different characters. Mm-hmm. Number one, he played President Scroob, who was the leader of the Spaceballs, which is basically the Galactic Empire, of this meant to be the evil Emperor Palpatine. And then where he really steals the movie is he plays the wise and powerful Yogurt, who was meant to be Yoda. By the way, Bradley, if we had, if you had to name your favorite flavor of yogurt, what is the most wise and powerful flavor?
Orange creamsicle.
Sir, I was going to go salted caramel, but I can ride with that. Yep. I can ride with that. All right. So that gives us our cast. And if you don't know, most of the plot is about, again, Lone Star, Barf, and Princess Vespa trying to stop the evil Spaceballs from getting all the oxygen, the air, from planet Druidia. Hence, she's a Druish princess. Get it? Because Druish and Jewish. Because, again, Mel Brooks.
And a parody.
And a parody, right? And to which they were going to suck all the air out of planet Druidia, which is a planet wrapped around like a big, basically, plastic hamster wheel. Mm-hmm. So, Bradley, maybe this is what Tony Stark meant by saying that the world needed to be surrounded by a suit of armor. Maybe he was inspired by Spaceballs.
You know what? That's going to go in my brain cannon. That is 100% going to be in my brain cannon as why Tony Stark decided he wanted to create Ultron and the Avengers 2 happened.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So again, for those two reviewers, understand without Spaceballs, you get no Avengers Age of Ultron, which means you don't get James Spader as a big hulking robot. That means you don't get like a real confusing Quicksilver who dies, but maybe didn't. And Peter and Traitor and all that sort of stuff. You know, we don't get that. All right. And then, of course, in the end, through the power of the Schwartz, the heroes win, because remember that Darth Helmet is absolutely nothing to Lone Star. And if you don't get that one, we probably were talking more about it. But that's the general plot of it. It's a great movie. Again, lots of laughs, lots of little adventures, lots of little nuggets that people can talk about, which I think is why it's one of our favorite movies. That's a movie that number one you can watch and probably memorize, as I have. But just a little nuggets you can bring. And it's a great test for friends if you're in the movies and trivia. Just throw a couple things out there. Mm-hmm. And with that, I have a couple pieces of trivia for you, Bradley, regarding Spaceballs. Okay. So, again, one of the things that we see in Spaceballs all the time is Yogurt talk about all the Spaceball merchandise.
Merchandising,
yes. But Bradley, did you notice one thing that was always conspicuous by his absence? There was no Spaceball merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know why?
George Lucas wouldn't let him.
Absolutely. The only way George Lucas gave them permission to make such a in-depth parody. So again, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to understand one of the things that happens, because parodies really strip into intellectual property, you usually need permission if you're going to make money off of a parody. Hence, Weird Al Yankovic had Coolio looking for him. R.I.P. Coolio. Yes.
Also, that's also why Weird Al Yankovic never released a Prince parody.
Absolutely. Did not have permission. Absolutely. Yep. So Mel Brooks got permission from George Lucas, who said he was all for it, except no merchandising. So that's why they hit on merchandise. So by itself, it's kind of some meta parody. They're going to talk all about merchandise, but actually have no merchandise.
And a sequel.
And a sequel. And the last bit of it is, so Bradley, what goes through your mind if I talk about the chest burster?
So typically I would think of Aliens.
And what other movie, though, has a great chest burster scene?
Brian, that would be Spaceballs.
Spaceballs. And Bradley, while John Hurt played the actor who experiences the chest bursting in Alien, who experienced the chest bursting scene in Spaceballs?
Well, Brian, again, that would be John Hurt.
Sir John Hurt. And did you know how much he got paid for his scene?
Probably not much.
A whopping zero, a goose egg. Mel Brooks told him it was going to be just a walk-on cameo. He could show up, walk on, say a couple things, and then walk off screen, so he agreed to do it for free. It wasn't until he actually got there that he was told it was really pretty much a shot-for-shot remake of it, including with all the special effects that go about it. He was there for a full day, but because because it was such late notes, everything, he actually did not get paid. And that was one of the things he talks about that maybe he regretted in his career, is that he never stopped to renegotiate with Mel to get paid for that scene. So he actually did the scene free of charge.
So Mel Brooks is actually doing a new, he's got a TV show for the History of the World Part 2.
Does he?
Yeah, it comes out, I think, next month. It's a Hulu thing, I believe.
Wonderful.
Yes, wonderful. I am beyond excited. We will definitely be doing some quickies on it.
So first off, Mel Brooks is a fantastic actor. And just to show you again the depth of Mel Brooks, so let me down here, Bradley. If I was in a Mel Brooks movie and I said the word Frankenstein, what would your clapback be?
Young Frankenstein.
Or Frankenstein. Oh, yes.
Frankenstein. Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
And of course, my movie. Favorite Mel Brooks movie quote: "Where the white women at?" All right. So.
Oh my God! Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles, which is again another one, and again, one of the we love so many of the things that Mel Brooks put out, and a lot of these parody things, is they typically have deeper meaning. So, yeah. The fact that they made sure to play on again a lot of those insecurities and stereotypes that people have had about Jewish individuals, Jewish culture. The fact that, you know, the movie is written and directed by such a prominent Jewish American and did all those great things, again, throughout his career. That's what he's done. And by the way, Stan Lee has done many of those things as well. It's long been reported that mutants in the Marvel world, you know, you're not going to get through a revenge without us talking about the MCU just a little bit, the general idea of mutants in Marvel are that they are an analogy for persons of Jewish descent who have been ostracized and killed and hunted down. So again, thank you so much, Mel Brooks, for all that you bring to us. Yeah. Bradley, before I put a pin in this part, sir, do you have any favorite quotes or what are some of your favorite moments regarding Spaceballs?
I think my favorite would be "They've gone plaid."
Yes.
Also, when somebody asked me if I found something, like, I ain't found shit. I think that's probably my most quoted part of Spaceballs, to be honest. And then, you know, any chance I get to throw out the merchandise.
Yes.
You
know, yes. That,
you know, and then Pizza the Hut, which I actually, that's going to be part of my pick, one of my pitches that we'll talk about shortly.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yes, man. Those. What about you, man?
Well, I think I shared this with you. Back when I was learning how to drive, my mom actually taught me how to drive. My dad worked construction, was usually still at work when I was trying to get my reps in for driving. But one of the first times I got to drive with him, I actually was driving him to work because I need the car that day. So I'm taking my dad to a work site, and it's down this kind of back country. There's no one in the car. There's no one on the road, really, but me, him, like a couple tractors. And as we're driving, and my family were movie-watching people, so I'm just plodding along like most, you know, nervous first-year drivers. My dad is like, "You're going to make me late. We got to get there." And I'm just like, "Okay, I'm hurting her." And he finally goes, "Punch it. We need to achieve ludicrous speed."
I love this.
I cannot tell you how cool it was to be a 16-year-old with your dad yelling, "Let's hit ludicrous speed." And I tried to gun it in my mom's Pontiac. By the way, ludicrous speed in a Pontiac. Like an 84 Pontiac Bonneville, a little different. Like at that point, I think I hit the gas and the car literally said, "What are you doing?" But it did lead me to that. So yeah, so ludicrous speed and the Pizza the Hut, huge fan of Pizza the Hut, and the silliness of, again, one of my favorite cartoons as a kid was Transformers. And the cartoon Transformers, not that loud Michael Bay axe commercial. When they actually turn Spaceball One, which is meant to be the Death Star, when they turn Spaceball One actually into a maid so she can vacuum the air and the mountains and the trees and everything out of planet Druidia, was just fantastic. And by the way, Princess Vespa, while she may have been an only child, I think she should have 7 siblings because, Bradley, you know what they say? 8 is enough.
Yes. Oh, fun fact also. My father worked at Winnebago because Winnebago is in Forest City, Iowa.
Yes.
When they built the Winnebago for Spaceballs. So, fun fact.
Yes. So instead of the, and for anyone that's not seen the movie, instead of the Millennium Falcon or an X-Wing fighter, which are the vehicles that you see the good guys use in the Star Wars franchise, they had an actual Winnebago that had wings and a couple engines. That's what they flew in Spaceballs. So Barf and Lone Star, that was their vehicle that they used to try and save the universe. So hearing that Winnebago was actually built in Iowa is very cool. It's so, very, very cool.
What band was Barf rocking out to?
I knew you were going to ask me this. Oh, God. I want to let you down because I can't think of who it was. Who is it?
Bon Jovi.
Of course.
It was Bon Jovi. Of course. Yeah.
Of course. Of course. And again, just a fantastic, I keep saying and again, because there's so much about this movie. When we were deciding that we were going to revamp the podcast and maybe do like deeper dives with some revenge stuff, we really just instantaneously, what is this? Because we had done, like you said, this is, we did a whole year of shows. And while we mentioned Spaceballs, it never really was something we really talked about. We would cite it a lot. We would just go, and then I'm sure we've dropped Ludicrous Speed and merchandise. And we've done all those things before, but to actually delve into this. So when we knew, kind of like we knew when the first times we ever really prevenged a movie and talked about was a perfect movie for us, we knew it was going to be Princess Bride. When we started off this year, it was pretty easy to know that it was going to be Spaceballs.
Yeah, I don't even think we even thought about it. I was like,
no,
Spaceballs. That's it.
Absolutely.
So with that being said, are you ready to talk about the prevenge of Spaceballs? So what this is going to be is we are going to tell the stories. We're going to pitch some ideas, different ways that we could lead up into Spaceballs, the movie.
Absolutely, sir. Let's prevenge this bad boy.
Mind if I take a shot first?
Please.
So my first part is I'm going to focus on Dark Helmet. And there's one line in the movie that I want to flush out.
All right.
When he says, I am your father's brother's nephew's cousin's former roommate.
Mate. Yes.
I think that that would be the seminal moment that you know, that'd be where he becomes, that's where he finds a Schwartz within him. And at first he was going to be good, just like Anakin Skywalker. He was good. And he was actually training with Yogurt. Yogurt finds him. And by the way, the tagline for the prequel is going to be this: evil always triumphs good, or always evil always triumphs because good is dumb. But so he starts training with Yogurt, but then decides he's going to take the quick path. And that's when he befriends Emperor Scroob. During like an internship or something like that. That's where he's gonna find the dark helmet. First it'll be light helmet, dark helmet, you know, everything like that.
Absolutely.
And that I think that would be amazing. I think it'd be really cool to tell the bully becoming the bullied becoming the bully.
Right.
You know.
Right. And I think you could do this in a couple of different ways. Again, it's taken in stride with the fact this is a Mel Brooks parody. You would want to, you know, have a little bit of background to the Anakin backstory. But how would you do this? So I think one of the best things that you would do is that you would create some type of metaphor, allegory, some type of comparison with someone like Obi-Wan Kenobi, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where we got to start. And, you know, you definitely want to play with someone with, you know, a really strong British accent, that big commanding piece. I think perfect one of you after the cast, this will be Cary Elwes, famously from Robin Hood Men in Tights, another Mel Brooks film. Because remember, unlike other Robin Hoods, he actually has a British accent. Yeah. Yes, he does. And given, you just look at kind of what that relationship was, again, I'm your father's brother's nephew's cousin's former roommate. Mm-hmm. So that obviously is a play on the idea that in Star Wars, you had that great moment in Empire where Vader tells Luke, Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father. And then he goes, I am your father. And, you know, Mark Hamill, great Joker. But that was the weakest. Like, if you just found out your mortal enemy is also your father, and just cut off your hand, by the way, just that little, no, you know, that's like finding out you're allergic to, you know, I don't know, peat, so you can't have, like, refined sugar anymore. No. Okay. I have to eat stevia now. No. Okay. But that's with
it's pretty handy.
I was going to say he just ruined his date for the night. Anyway.
You win. You win that one. You win that one.
Speaking of that, even though we are in a new year, kids, if you think that maybe there's one Christmas present that was missed, don't forget to go to your parents' bedroom, especially if they're out of the house, see if there's that shoebox. Yeah. Slowly take the shoe and don't open it just yet. Put it on top with your bare hand. Go in. I guarantee there'll be a surprise waiting for you. And that is from your buddy Brad. Okay. So regarding the rest of the background story, I guess you got the former roommate. So you would just, like you said, he's under the tutelage of Yogurt. But let's say that my head goes to Harry Potter, where maybe the former roommate is just this cocky kid with all the things. And he basically offers to bankroll some merchandising for Yogurt. And, you know, next thing you know, and I just love that I could see Princess Leia's head kind of hovering behind you with the blurred screen. What would wind up happening is he just absolutely just completely ditches Darth Helmet. And the best part would be, what if the former roommate, if they could get him, would be like Martin Short? You know, it's someone that they're always getting confused with them. Or that'd be a great one. For maybe Bill Murray or someone to go, like, you know, just again draw those Ghostbusters comparisons. But he gets dropped, and as he rises out there, Emperor Scroob shows up and pulls out of this oversized hat box the helmet. the helmet, and he puts it on there. And again, if you've never seen the movie, the reason that you get that big wheezing noise, which in Star Wars is meant to be the artificial lungs that breathe for Vader. In Spaceballs, it could just be, Rick Moranis always talks about how it's just impossible to breathe underneath the helmet. And I think it'd be great for that. And, you know, perhaps the first thing is someone walks by, sees the helmet, and goes, are you compensating for something? I think that would just be, again, some of that great backstory to show the turning to the dark side of Dark Helmet.
I love it, man. Hey, so with that being said, what about you? What do you think? What do you have any ideas? Do you have a I know your brain's been going.
Yes.
Where did your brain take you when we're talking about telling a story about before Spaceballs?
Well, you got to go with the buddies in the movie, right? So you've got Lone Star, and again, barf! You just can't say barf. Just, I said it earlier, and I just, my heart just had, you can't just say it regularly. You got to go barf! Okay.
Barf!
So I want the backstory of how Lone Star and Barf met. And we could actually call it when Lone Star met Barf, better, a non-solo story. See, not right. non-solo, but non-solo.
Non-solo. Like that? Yeah, I non-solo. Love that.
Yes.
Dude, you are just winning this episode.
I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best here. But I want the backstory of how Lone Star, again, meets Barf. And, you know, maybe gets him out of the litter. He's the run of the litter. Lone Star's maybe getting bullied a little bit. Lone Star's the orphan. You know, maybe Barf finds the ring for the Schwartz. But I just really want them. I want a really good backstory of that, how they find the Winnebago. It'd be great, like, if they find an actual Winnebago and just retrofit it with the wings. You know, I like to see maybe like an actual Iowa sticker or something up there.
That'd be cool.
To draw that in together. To give us a little bit of that. And especially, I was thinking, if they actually made this, you know, I mean, could you imagine, like, cast someone like Jonah Hill as a young Barf?
Oh, that'd be,
you know,
that'd
yeah, be good. Yeah. You know, and talking about how all the other Mogs.
Josh
know,
Gad.
Yes! Josh Gad, I think, might be better than Jonah Hill. Josh Gad is actually funny.
I agree. I agree.
Yeah, even as a snowman. Just didn't get it. Just didn't. You know, you know, you ever wonder, again, here's our, we haven't really done the tangent yet, so here's our tangent. You ever wonder if Frosty watches Frozen and goes, how was I not cast?
Right?
You know, like, you know, you, what, am I too, I can play younger. Mm-hmm. I can play a younger snowman. You know, I can play a snow teen.
Yeah, you know? I want to know the we will, you know what, for Christmas, I think we're going to have to prevenge Frosty the Snowman.
All right. Which again, Frost is good, you know, and it's, but only if we can do it instead of a carrot, he gets an eggplant. All right. So,
yeah, we sure can.
Because it's visual. Again, kids,
when you're playing in your mom and dad's room.
yes, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. All right. Oh, I'm gonna so get us in trouble. All right. So that would be my prevenge story. So let me ask you, how would you do it? How would you introduce Lone Star and Barf into each other's lives?
You know, so what I was thinking, I think I would probably go about it the same way, but I would do it after I did mine, because I would almost follow what Star Wars did, right? Because you started with the original trilogy, and then they did one movie.
Sure.
So then you want to do one movie that's going to take place during the prequels. And
right.
then do one movie to cover all the other stuff, right?
Right.
So I think that would be the third movie. So I think that would come after my movie about Dark Helmet. And
because sure.
You could do in all the lore. Like, you could have
yeah.
you could have Lone Star or Bray. Yeah, Lone Star's.
With two R's, yes.
With two R's. You could have his relatives where he found yes. him, because he's an honest to God prince.
Yep.
But you could actually go to, you know, in that family or whatever, you know, and have them be part of it. Maybe they're the original bullies to Dark Helmet, you know. Who's his name? Yeah. Rick.
Yes. It's funny. Yeah, and I think you got to have the overlap mm-hmm. between the families. I think also be a running joke. What if Lone Star had a Mog allergy?
And oh my god!
Whenever he's not on camera, he's better with like an EpiPen. He's out. Yeah. They're just stocked with Benadryl. That's the whole deal. I think that'd be absolutely perfect.
Instead of the Kessel Run, it took him 12 parsecs to train Barf to go outside the Winnebago.
Absolutely, absolutely. Could you imagine, or instead of like the little like doggy bags, he has like the extra heavy duty, hefty bags. Mm-hmm. And he goes, Barf, this has got to stop. It'd be perfect. It'd be absolutely perfect. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, also, let's talk a little bit about Pizza the Hut. All right.
Yes.
So what if there was a bounty hunter named Domino's who was the Boba Fett?
Yes. Yes.
Right. And then he is maybe Dark Helmet. Going after Dark Helmet, maybe he's part of a Why He Turns or whatever. But also, what if President Scroob and Yogurt were twins separated at birth?
Yes, yes. Or, we really want to play it this way. So at the end of the movie, we see Darth Helmet and President Scroob and Colonel Sanders. They're stuck on this planet. Mm-hmm. But now that the heroes have won, so this will be, I want to talk about the prequel, but this is how we can even do a sequel.
Yeah.
Would be, now that the good guys have actually won and they think Scroob and Darth and the whole Spaceball group are gone, that you've now jumped ahead and Lone Star and Vespa get married, and now the Spaceball Empire has crumbled. They're gonna make Lone Star the new head of the Federation or whatever. And then right as Lone Star is about to take his oath of office, here we come. Here we see again. I love how they do it in the movie. Mel Brooks is running down this really long hallway to say he does not accept the results of the election. And he's tanned for some strange reason, and everyone's sitting there eating Cheetos. I think it'd be great. Okay.
I mean, that's definitely the after credit scene that we're looking for.
That may be a thing. So we might talk about that more next week. So I kind of buried the lead there. But then, as far as some things beforehand, I really like the idea of doing a Pizza the Hut movie, because I think you could play with all the pizza ideas. So think about this. So, and I thought about this even when I was a kid, that you see the guy next to pizza, kind of his right-hand mm-hmm. person, that we really want to see him in those scenes. Like, I don't even know if they name him in the credits. They don't name him during the movie, but maybe they do, and I don't remember. But he looks like that old-school gangster thing, right? And kind of like, so I'm thinking, what if Pizza the Hut used to be part of this big crime syndicate, and the crime syndicate was called, the Pizza Godfathers? Do you like that?
I do.
And then, like, you play on your idea, you've got Domino, who's like the big assassin, like maybe the head of the Godfathers is named Papa Murphy. You can just play with that. So I think that'd be great. And you can even do the whole thing with pizza and the whole deal. And we got to figure out. And this is my question to you, sir, and we can probably follow up next week with our after credits. I'll talk about what happens later. Is how will we integrate the Mandalorian and Grogu
into
new space balls?
So for the it'll be yogurt balls, yogurt balls, maybe. What do you got?
Try not to spit on my computer. Everything I had not to spit on my computer, my friend. That was good. That was good. Okay. So, yes, more with the yogurt balls. Okay.
And then I think that for the Mandalorian, see, that takes place after The regular Star Wars.
Yep.
So oh man, I don't know. I don't know.
So that gives us something maybe puzzle over. And anyone listening, if you've got ideas, let us know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That would be maybe something to think about as we've seen Star Wars grow. How do you integrate that into any new Spaceballs property? Again, especially with Mando and Grogu. Mm-hmm. Even maybe play with Bob a little bit, Boba Fett. But definitely Mando and this. Or, honestly, if you had a direct parody of Andor to show up and people said, no one likes you. And just he's in for like 2 seconds and you push him away. Yeah. I'm Ann Snore. Yeah, no one likes you. And just send him along on his way. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh man,
absolutely.
I love that. Awesome. 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 What else do you got for prevenging?
You know what? Those are the big ones, but I definitely like that idea. And I think you can play with a couple things. Part of me goes, what if you again, play out the idea of, we didn't talk a whole lot about Vespa's backstory get integrated. Now that we, again, RIP, we don't have Joan Rivers, who voiced Dot Matrix, so have a new Dot Matrix, and they have to make an R2-D2.
Yeah.
They did not have an R2-D2, and they didn't have a play on R2-D2, there wasn't space. I mean, the movie isn't that long, and they have a lot of characters. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to see them integrate an R2-D2. But let's again, all those pre-vending things of, how do Lone Star and Barf meet? Again, the origin of Dark Helmet, the rise of Emperor Scroob, and I think you can play so much with our 45th president and drawing some lines there. I think that's an idea that Mel Brooks would absolutely love. I don't know, but I have a feeling Mel Brooks has thought a lot about, how can I just make a parody of this, which I think would be fantastic. And of course, what if, and this is my last revenge of it, what if, since we know that there are two rings of the sword, so Dark Helmet has one, and Lone Star has one. What if there were a series of rings, and at the end of it, they have this big fellowship and quest for rings. At the end of it, Yogurt comes out with his big chest and goes, "I have them right here." Just to, again, just play again on the merchandise and thing. Like, we make them out of truckloads. It's not a thing. We put them in Happy Meals or Yogurt Meals or whatever. In Cracker Jack boxes, absolutely. I think it'd be fantastic. Similar to, again, my second MCU reference, when you get to Loki and they realize that all the Infinity Stones aren't really that important to the Time Commission, you're just like, oh, yeah, I got one of those, a paperweight. Like, here's all these great rings of power. And they're worthless. So that would be a good one as well.
Awesome. All right, man. So with that being said, do you agree? Do you disagree? Do you like where we're going? Do you got better ideas? We're pretty much a Facebook talk show now, as well as on YouTube and pretty much everywhere else that we could go. So
and join, we grow through stupidity. So thank you for contributing. We love to grow through stupidity.
I need to make something for growth through stupidity. Hashtag. All right, man. So with that being said, you have an honest advertising.
I do, sir. So, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to share with you new for 2023 as we're recording. It is January 8th. My honest ad. And this is my honest ad for Cheese Whiz. Bradley, we all eat our feelings, especially when we feel, a little hangry, which we know is also known as when you mix hungry and angry. But what do we do when we are both sad and hungry? Well, I like to say, sungry. Well, sir, there's only one option, and that is cheese, or at least a reasonable facsimile. But which cheese? Is blue cheese too stinky? We got a snack for that, sir. What about provolone? Oh, that's for rich folks. And hypothetically, Does the mere sight of grated Parmesan remind you of that weekend when you were 9 years old and your mother left you with her boyfriend, with her best friend Pam, and Pam's stink ass kids and her boyfriend named Luther, so your mom could go see Rick James, the B-52s, and Cameo in concert? Does it prove to your dad that she still got it?
I mean, that sounds pretty specific, man.
Hypothetically.
Hypothetically. Yeah, hypothetically. Got it. Yeah.
Well, we have a snack for that, too. We've got Cheese Whiz. So whether you're sitting alone and want to eat a late night snack, or whether you're wake up alone and you don't have time for breakfast, or any time as long as you're alone, especially when you're reminded of that weekend when you're 9 years old and your mother left you with her best friend Pam and Pam's stink ass kids and Pam's boyfriend Luther, so she could go see Rick James, the B-52s, and Cameo to prove to your dad that she still got it.
Mm, it's a love shack right there.
Too soon, Brad.
Too soon.
Cheese Whiz will be there for you because it contains salt, calcium chloride, lipase, maltodextrin, and those yummy phosphates.
Mm.
When in doubt, Cheese Whiz, sir.
You know, I love that. So usually when I make when I make grilled cheese sandwiches, I actually put a layer of Cheese Whiz on before the cheese.
No, you do not.
I do. I do.
No, you do not. No one does that.
I do. I do that. I at least I used to. We haven't got Cheese Whiz in a while because it's kind of expensive now. Yeah, it is the truth.
I love the fact that it's not that it isn't cheese. Is that it's expensive, not cheese.
Right.
Are you saying that we're in a world that the real cheese is cheaper than the fake cheese?
I mean, in parts, yeah. I mean, like, I'm just saying this might be a hypothetical as well.
Sure, sure.
There may have been a time where I had a Cheese Whiz. I mean, I know somebody who had a Cheese Whiz Velveeta cheese grilled cheese sandwich. Hypothetically, 100%. So, all right, with a great one, Brian. Great one, sir. So, with that being said, Better. Who
I'm going to find you, Luther. I mean, sorry. Yeah, sorry.
Who is the better than us person of the week?
Okay, in all seriousness, we're going to end our podcast with a new honoree, and that is every week we're going to talk about our better than us human of the week. And this week, I wanted to start off with someone I think is legitimately a fantastic human being, basically what they've overcome, and that is, everyone's talking about this individual, but I think it's fair, Damar Hamlin from the Buffalo Bills. So if you, go ahead, Bradley had something to say.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, we can't get better than that.
So if anyone, I'm sure there's no person listening to this podcast that has not heard this, but, you know, last week during the Buffalo Bills football game, Damar Hamlin took at least appeared to be fairly routine shot to the chest on a routine tackle. Unfortunately, he suffered a cardiac arrest. His heart stopped on the field, and lots of heroic measures were taken to save his life. And we're recording on a Sunday, and he was awake and able to watch his Bills play football game today from his hospital bed. But again, that story is more, it really covers a lot of better than us humans of the week. Again, obviously, Mr. Hamlin, but all the first responders who took care of his care, his teammates, the other players that were on the field. The way the commentators basically handled and never really seen territory. You got a player who literally died on the field to be brought back, and how they handled that, the fans who were in attendance, all of whom were respectful, all those things. And just, again, the outpouring of love from, like, his charity has received so many donations. I just think that was a very cool moment, the tail end of our holiday season, but it really shows in a sport that I'm a big fan of, that people can be injured really quickly, hurt very quickly, lives can change in an instant. Took a scary situation, worked out well, and really show a lot of human beings really rising to their better nature. So Damar Hamlin et al. And all the others, they are, in my eyes, the better than humans people of the week.
You know, man, I can't disagree with you there, buddy. That right there. Yeah, yeah. Yep, that's. I think that's about it, man. man, I was going a whole different way at that, man. But I'm like, you know,
hey, what? I want to hear your way. I want to hear your way, sir. Where are you going?
I was actually going to go for Last of Us coming out next week. I was going to do a
that is also that. Really great. That but, is also you know, really great. Hey, both. Hey, we live in a world that both can be really great.
Yeah,
both
can yeah,
be really great.
And yours is so much better. So
I don't know about that, but both are really good. By the way, I do want to thank you really quick on the podcast. I wound up watching that Hulu show you suggested, Trent. And yeah, really good. Really yeah, good. Especially getting the Mark Paul Gosselaar sighting. I was like, wow, the Zach attack is back. So, yes.
Not in a good way.
No, Will Trent, very, very good show. And if we were kind of doing a bigger countdown on our shows, it would have made one of my best shows. Will Trent is looking very good. Mm-hmm. Very, very good.
Awesome. So if you want to tweet, man, I can't talk now, man. You can tweet at me.
We
at
took Pandemic 2 weeks off. It's going to take a minute to get back in the groove.
Right, right. Tweet at me at Pandemic3. Hey, I have a graphic for that. You can find us, follow us at Fandemic.
Love it.
Fandemic1 on Facebook, Fandemic3 on the Twitter, Fandemic1 on the TikTok as well. If you want to support the show, there are several ways to do so. You can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/thefandemic, and Brian and I will toast you on the next episode.
I promise I will not toast you with coffee, though.
That is correct, and I will not either. You can go to Patreon at patreon.com/PVOTN. Fandemic, become an episode assistant, episode producer, a pre-venge producer like Stacy, or become part of the con. Yes, you could be part of the Council of Nerds starting at $5 a month. Become a monthly supporter like Stacy at anchor.fm/PVOTN. Or, you know what, just share the show with someone you want to make a little more awesome. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review and keep the comments alive in the comments. All right, Brian, where can we reach you at, buddy?
As always, you can find me on Facebook at Brian Steven Dennis. Give me a like, give me a follow, give me a friend request. Love the keep it light and fun. So definitely you can always find me on the Book of Faces.
All right, man. So, Brian, I think we are at max levels of awesome for the week.
You buried the needle, sir.
Let's end the week like we do on a positive note.
Yes,
what do
sir.
You got for me, buddy?
As always, thank you for leveling up. You're awesome with us. This is the best part of my week. Hope it's the best part of yours. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, please remember the never retreat, never surrender, and Goonies, never say die.
We're all playing the same game in life, just on a different level. Thanks for catching up. You're welcome for leveling up. You're awesome. Live free or die empty. And bye-bye.
Bye-bye.